The Smithsonian wants to unlock the detailed stories behind many of its exhibits, and it needs the public to make this feat possible. Smithsonian's Transcription Center website features 39,000, actually more than that, digitized documents that it wants to use the power of the crowd to transcribe. Megan Ferreter is the project coordinator for the Smithsonian's Transcription Center. She explains her group's crowdsourcing goals.
We are hoping to have two outcomes, at least, with our projects in the Transcription Center. We create indexed, searchable text through transcribing handwritten documents, typewritten documents, and then we also collect portions of data from the images, usually from specimen sheets and labels, and make new collection records for those individual items.
You don't have the staff sufficient to do everything you want to do, so you're reaching out to whom exactly?
We are asking volunteers anywhere, anyone anywhere around the world can access the Transcription Center. You can transcribe anonymously, or if you transcribe and create an account, we can track the work that you're doing, and you can pace yourself and set goals for yourself on transcribing.
All right, give us a sense of what range of materials you have that need to be cataloged and transcribed and otherwise documented.
We run the gamut of different kinds of materials. We have diaries, we have scientific logbooks, we have photo albums, artist letters, we have different kinds of manuscripts such as archaeological reports, also vocabulary cards, and we have bumblebee specimens and botanical sheets specimens as well.
Bumblebee specimens. Tell us about that.
Sure. We have drawers and drawers of bumblebees who are specimens that researchers have collected over time. And now the data that is associated with each of those items can be transcribed and create a new collection record. And that information can go into a database to help researchers learn more about bumblebee populations and other activity over time. It's like a historical snapshot of bumblebee activity around the world. So the location data is something that's very important for researchers to understand pollinator decline.
And so are you also creating a picture database of the specimens themselves so that it can be tied to the label that goes with that particular bumblebee?
Correct. We are imaging all of these bumblebees. We call it a digitization capture pilot program. Then we take those images and associate that metadata with the image. But you can also download that from the Transcription Center for free. So if you transcribe a bumblebee piece of data, you can download and take it with you. You'll have the image of the bumblebee and the information that you transcribed.
Well, that sounds pretty cool. And the artist letters and diaries, these are from historical figures pretty much.
Yes, we have letters from artists including Georgia O'Keeffe, Jackson Pollock, Frederick Edwin Church, who painted a painting called Aurora Borealis, which we have at Smithsonian's American Art Museum. It's one of my favorites.
And so these are things that only exist now in the analog original form, so therefore nobody can really see them or touch them as a general rule?
Correct. These materials are often available. They're shared by, for example, the artist letters are shared by Archives of American Art, and they are available for researchers, but of course each of these items is very fragile. So making them available in a digital state makes it both more accessible and helps to preserve the item for a longer period of time.
So you're not going to image them, but rather someone will type the actual words, the content, into a document?
Fortunately, they have already been digitized. We can bring them into the Transcription Center, and we'll type the words that are on the screen. You'll have a little box that you type into, and then we'll make that text available. And again, just like the bumblebees, you can take the downloaded version of that letter away once the project is complete.
And how do you verify the accuracy of what it is that people are typing in? And how do you make sure people are being, you know, intellectually honest when they're typing over what it is they've been shown a picture of?
It's a great question. Our process is a peer review process, so we have transcribing and review as built into our process for the page to be completed. Then once it's finished by the public, it also has an approval process from Smithsonian staff. So it has at least three passes. Usually we see in the review process it gets pushed back into transcription. So let's say I'm reviewing and I notice errors, I can move it back into the transcribe state and say, please fix these errors, and another volunteer can come along and change them. So usually we see for every single page, at least about five people have worked on it before it goes forward for Smithsonian approval.
And I guess in earlier centuries or many decades ago, people were a little bit more meticulous about their handwriting than perhaps they are now.
That is true. We have many examples of slightly hard to decipher handwriting, and then we also have beautiful examples of handwriting, and again, ranging from scientists to artists, historical artifacts. We have notes from people who were on ships, people who were at war, just making record of their daily activities.
We're speaking with Megan Ferreter. She is the project coordinator for the Smithsonian's Transcription Center. What are your methods of reaching out to people? How do you get people to enroll here?
We'd like to ask everyone to come to transcription.si.edu, and again, take a look around the website. You can jump into a project and start transcribing anonymously, or you can sign up and create an account, and then you'll be able to track your work. You can also find out updates and information and very interesting behind-the-scenes information about all of these projects by following us on Twitter. TranscribeSI is our Twitter handle, or on Facebook, Smithsonian Transcription Center is our page.
But all of it eventually gets uploaded to be available for all of the public.
Yes, our site is actually makes this available immediately upon it being completed. A completed project is immediately available for view, and the transcriptions always live in the Transcription Center after they've been completed.
And now the Smithsonian has a big program, the Commons program, of trying to sort of turn itself inside out in terms of going online. Is this all part of that greater effort?
We are part of the wider digitization and digital Smithsonian effort. So we like to think of transcription as unlocking the detailed stories that are inside our digitized items. So when we digitize things, we make them accessible to the public, but typing out and creating transcriptions allows us to search more deeply and find out these hidden stories of relationships between people, events that occurred, and really exciting mysteries that our volunteers uncover every single day.
And do you have any estimate of how many man hours or person hours would be required if you were to do it on staff? I mean, how big an effort are you anticipating?
Absolutely hundreds of years. In addition to, even if we stopped everyone not doing any of their normal work and had them just transcribe, it would take an amazing volume of work to complete this. So we are thrilled to have the public help us and volunteers come and spend their time with us and tell us what they're learning as they transcribe as well.
I guess I should have asked this earlier. Do they need to be on premises, or can this be done online over a website?
It is a website. Although it's called the Transcription Center, it's a digital space that can be accessed anywhere around the world. And indeed, we have volunteers who come from Nova Scotia, the United Kingdom, Japan, New Zealand, and of course the United States as well.
Any good stories yet of someone who might have completed a particular set of something?
Yes, we have two really good stories. One, some of the transcribed elements for Anacostia Community Museum Archives will now be included in in-person exhibits, so the volunteers could go in person to see some of the material that they have transcribed. And then we also have added information to a collector record as part of a wider database, a scientist who was a female collector. She collected specimens in New Mexico, and her collector record wasn't completed. They didn't have her death date. And by transcribing materials in the Transcription Center, one of our volunteers was able to provide information and complete that collector record. We also have created over 7,000 new collection records as part of our bumblebees, botanies, and numismatic currency proof sheets collections. So really exciting happenings every single day at the Transcription Center.
So those bees sound like they're pretty popular.
They are popular. All of our projects are popular, actually. We are always looking to add more material in, and we'd love to hear from our volunteers on what sorts of things they'd like to see in the Transcription Center.